This morning I want to talk to you about losing the glory of the new covenant. Losing the glory of the new covenant. I want to go to two passages of Scripture. I want to go to Mark chapter 9 and 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, we're going to read Mark chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. And just keep your marker or your finger in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll be there in a moment. Mark chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. It says, "And after 6 days Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller or no soap on earth can white them." Let's pray this morning. Father, I just pray that as I speak this message that I believe, truly believe, is from your heart, I pray that I would speak it with your heart, God. Lord, and I do pray, Lord, that there would be a humbleness in all of our hearts and a teachableness in all of our hearts, God, to receive it into our heart, Lord, and to let it work within our life, God. Father, we thank you for the glory of the new covenant. We thank you, Lord, that it absolutely works in our life and transforms us and changes us, God. And we thank you, Lord, that it has power to do what we could never do in our own strength and in our own efforts, God. We thank you, God, that you are conforming us into the image of Christ. Lord, that is the desire of our heart. Lord, above everything else, it's just to be made more and more like Jesus, to have his nature, have his character, to have the fruit of his spirit, God, growing and maturing in our life, God. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. And everything that you're doing in our lives, and everything that you're doing in this church, God, in the hearts of your people as a corporate body, Lord, we thank you and we give you glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 In Mark chapter 9, as we just read, we see that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up into a mountain. And the Bible says that when they were on the mountain, Jesus was suddenly transfigured before them. And without going into a lot of detail and making this wordy, I just want to keep it very simple. When Jesus was transfigured before them, even though the disciples, Peter, James, and John, did not realize it at the moment, one of the things that Jesus was doing was he was showing them the glory of the new covenant that would be with his people. Now, let me explain this a little further. So again, look with me at Mark chapter 9, verse 2. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them." Now, beloved, that word transfigured in the Greek language, it simply means a change on the outside that comes from the inside. That word simply means what is on the inside is now seen on the outside. And that's exactly what's happening to Jesus in this transfiguration. Jesus is beginning to radiate with the glory that's in him. In other words, his Godhead, his deity, the glory of that, all that he is, is beginning to radiate. That this flesh that he was clothed in, that this flesh that he was veiled in, it could no longer contain, it could no longer conceal the glory of his deity, the glory of his Godhead. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to look at with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, we can read that verse and we can get caught up in a lot of words there trying to figure out what they mean and these kind of things. But if you just look at it in its simplicity, it's really telling the believer the secret of being changed. What is the secret of being changed? What's the secret of being transformed? Well, verse 18 says, beholding the glory of God, we are changed from glory to glory. So the secret to being changed, or the key, it's not so much a secret anymore, it's here written for us. The key to being changed is simply a life beholding the glory of the Lord. Well, then we have to ask, well, what is the glory of the Lord? Well, if you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and go to the book of Colossians, they both tell you that Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's glory. He is the expressed image of the glory of God. There is no fuller revelation of God's glory than Jesus. So to make it very simple, what it's saying is, as we behold Jesus, we are changed into his image. We're changed into his likeness as we behold him. In other words, beholding Jesus simply means Jesus is truly the focus of my heart. He's truly the very center of my life. That when I say with all my heart, I love Jesus, I love him, that's not just words, it's a reality in the life. Jesus is truly the love of my life. It's making him the focus of your heart, the focus of your life. That, beloved, when we make him the focus, the center of our life, and we have a life in his word, because that's important too. When we have a life in his word, beholding him in his word, the Holy Spirit taking the very heart of Christ and making it real to our hearts in his word. When we have a life beholding him, he's the center of our life, and a life seeing him in his word. The Bible says that we are changed in his own likeness. We are changed in his own image. Now, here's what I want us to see that's pretty amazing. I want you to look with me at verse 18 again. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And beloved, this is what I want us to understand. That word changed in verse 18, it's the same Greek word used in Mark chapter 9, verse 2 for transfigured. It's the very same word. And the truth I'm getting at is this. When Jesus was transfigured, what he was saying to the disciples, though they didn't realize it at the time, was this. What has happened to me is going to happen to you. That my Godhead, my glory in you is going to gloriously change you from the inside out. You see, when Jesus was being transfigured, it was the very picture of what was going to happen to New Covenant believers when the presence of the glorious Christ took residence in their lives. They would gloriously change from the inside out. He was showing them a picture. That's the glory of the New Covenant. Listen, beloved, what is the glory of the New Covenant? It's simply this, the glorious presence of Christ, the glorious presence of the Holy Spirit in me, changing me from the inside out. The New Covenant is a life being daily transformed into the image of Christ. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit in me, changing me from the inside out into the very image of Christ, into the very likeness of Christ. That's the glory of the New Covenant. Amen. Every day, this life that is in me is doing something in me that I could never do in my own strength, efforts, or willpower. It is changing me into the nature of Jesus Christ. That's the glory of the New Covenant. Now, I do want to add this. We may not always see the change or be changing in areas as fast as we would like. You know, sometimes we may even wonder, am I changing at all? But the good news is, if you truly love the Lord and you're following after the Lord, there is a supernatural work going on in the life. It doesn't matter if we see it, doesn't matter if we feel it, it doesn't matter if we understand it, doesn't matter. The Bible gives the guarantee. In fact, the Lord comforts us with these words. He says, be confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. To me, the day of Christ Jesus simply means either when you die or you get raptured. But when you're born again, There's a work God is doing every day in your life until the day that you die or you get raptured. And then when you're in His presence, seeing Him face to face, it is complete. Amen. That is the good news. You know, we may not always feel like we're changing. We don't live by feeling. We live by faith. Doesn't matter if I see it, feel it, or understand it. It's happening in my life. There is a transformation taking place. Amen. Isn't that good news? Now, before we move on, let's say it one more time. What is the glory of the new covenant? The glory of the new covenant is a life being transformed. It's the glorious presence of Christ in me, changing me from the inside out. That is the glory of this new covenant. So, let's move on. Y'all ready to move on? Oh, Pastor Tim, can't we just stay right there and shout a while? Do we have to move on? I'm following the cloud, not the crowd. And the cloud says, let's move on. You want to be anointed, you move when the cloud says move. Amen. Okay, here we go. The title of this message is Losing the Glory of the New Covenant. And let me just tell you where this message was birthed. I was reading in 1 Samuel chapter 1 about the priest Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And the Bible tells us that in the eyes of the Lord, they were a corrupt priesthood. They were a priesthood that didn't really, they were indifferent to God. They were indifferent to the things of God. And they was just using their priestly position for the benefit of their own flesh. They were using their priestly heritage for the sake of gratifying the sinful desires of their own flesh. To them, that's what being a priest was. You know, I'm in this priesthood with God, and I can use it as an advantage to gratify the ungodly desires of my flesh. And I was thinking about that, and ultimately what happened, because they never repented and came back to the Lord and really came back to their original purpose of just walking with God and serving Him in integrity and truth, they ended up losing a battle, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken. And when the Ark of the Covenant was taken, suddenly there was a name that was stamped upon the house of Israel, and that's the name Ichabod. And the word Ichabod actually means the glory of the Lord has departed, has left. And the question just came to my mind as I was thinking about that. Can a people and a church in this New Testament age lose the glory of the new covenant? Can they lose the glory of the new covenant? And after careful prayer and consideration, the answer came to my heart, yes, it can. It can lose the glory of the new covenant. I'm reminded of Jesus' warning to the church of Ephesus. He says, I will come unto you quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, lest thou repent. Beloved, when Jesus says to a church, I will remove your candlestick, what he's saying is this, you have ceased to be a true new covenant church in my eyes. I am withdrawing the glory of my presence. I am withdrawing the glory of my resurrection, transforming life, and you just become an organization with my name stamped on it. When I remove your candlestick, when I remove the glory, when I remove the life, when I remove the transforming power, that's all you become. I'm reminded of Jesus standing outside of the church of Laodicea, knocking on the door. Beloved, Jesus, the glory of God, is on the outside of the church, desiring to get in. You don't see the glory on the inside. You see the glory confined on the outside, desiring to get in. That's the goodness of God. He just doesn't leave you in that state. There will be a season where He says, the glory's on the outside. All you have is energy and entertainment on the inside. But the life is available if you'll just let me in. Amen. And let's ask a question. Is it possible to live in a state of sin and willful rebellion and still enjoy the fullness of new covenant blessings? Let's read that question again. Is it possible to live in a state of sin and willful rebellion and still enjoy the fullness of new covenant blessings? Beloved, if we were to go to the pig pen and look down into the pig pen and ask the prodigal, Mr. Prodigal, down there in that pig pen, are you enjoying the fullness of your father's house? Are you enjoying the fullness of the blessing of your father's table? You know what the prodigal would say? He would look up to you from the place of wallowing in the mire, and he would say, no, I am not enjoying the fullness of my father's table. I'm eating pig slop. My clothes smell with the stench of pigs. And this looks like nothing of my father's table. This looks like nothing of the blessing of my father's house. But here is the wonderful news. I'm going to go back to my father's house with true repentance in my heart. And he's going to be so overjoyed by my return. And one more time, he's going to cover the stench of my garments with his best robe. He's going to put the ring of authority and power on my finger and place his shoes of purpose on my feet and recommission me to walk out his purposes for my life. And he is going to kill the fatted calf, which represents all the blessings of the new covenant. And one more time, the fullness of my father's house will be mine. Why? Because my father loves me and he is good. He's good. But you know what? He's not going to bring his table to my pig pen. I have to return with a heart of repentance and go back to his house. And that's where he will restore me. Amen. Beloved, my point is, it is possible for a people and a church to lose the glory of the new covenant. So let's then ask the question, well, how can we lose the glory of the new covenant? How can we lose the glory of the new covenant? Well, there's a few things we can talk about, but there's just really one on my heart, and that's simply this. We lose the glory of the new covenant when we corrupt that glory. In other words, we lose the glory of the new covenant when we begin to call it something that it's not. That's when you begin to lose the glory. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 through 4. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, blasphemers, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Listen, when you read those first four verses, you think very plainly Jesus is talking about the world. I mean, this looks like such a picture of the lost, dark, unsaved world that we live in. And you know what? We would be justified in thinking that if we stopped at verse 4. But Paul didn't stop at verse 4. He ultimately went to verse 5. So let's look at verse 5. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Beloved, Paul makes it very clear in these words that he's not so much talking about the world, but he is talking about so much of what calls itself the church in the last days. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about what calls itself, what so much calls itself in the last days. It calls itself the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a people that have an outward show of religion, but there's no inward power. That's what he's talking about. They have a form of godliness. They have the show. They have the nice churches with the nice steeples on top and the pretty paintings on the back of the wall. And they have the latest in integrity and Hosanna music and great talent and instruments. There's a lot of energy there and a lot of excitement there. But it's all a show because it denies the power. It's what he's talking about. And here is the tragedy. Here is the corruption of it all. Look again at verse 5. Let's just read it again. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, they just see grace as a covering for their carnal, fleshly, rebellious lifestyle. They have a mindset that says, it doesn't matter how I live, God's love and his mercy and grace covers my rebellion in this new covenant. And the mistake is believing that God's grace covers you, but it doesn't change you. The mistake is in believing that God's grace covers you, but it doesn't transform you. Beloved, when you have a grace that covers you, but it's not changing you, you have an American grace, but you don't have a biblical grace. In other words, they deny that grace can take a man who is a lover of their own self and work a genuine unselfishness into their lives. They deny that grace can take an unthankful man and truly work in him a grateful heart. They deny that grace can take a woman who is a truce breaker and cultivate within her life a love for truth and transform her into a woman of her word. They deny that grace can take a son or a daughter who for an entire lifetime has been so disrespectful and disobedient to their parents and cultivate within them a repentant heart and a desire to treat their parents with honor and respect. Beloved, they claim the covering of grace as their own, but absolutely put away from them the power of grace, the changing power of grace, because they love their carnal lifestyle and they don't want to change. And that's the corruption of it all. We'll take it as our covering, but we'll put away from us the truth that it doesn't just cover you, it has the power to transform you. And we don't want that part. Because we like our flesh, we like our carnality, we like our blatant disobedience. We like it. Amen. Smile at me. And this is really the issue. It's not that they love the Lord and are just struggling with areas in their heart. It's not that they love the Lord, but they're just places where they just can't seem to get the victory in. And they find themselves failing and falling. But yet there's something in their heart that really wants freedom. I'm telling you, when that is in your heart, it doesn't matter how much you struggle or fail and fall. The Lord will take you up. He'll pick you up like Peter. He'll draw you out of those sinking waters and say, walk with me. And just know as you walk with me, I'm changing you. And there is a strength in God being worked in your life. But that's not the issue here. The issue is, they don't want to change because they love their carnal lifestyle and their rebellion. Beloved, the precious, priceless, great, wonderful, abounding with hope and joy and peace message of the new covenant is this. God can change you from the inside out. He can free you from the world and the flesh and the disobedient nature and change you from the inside out. And it's not about anything you can do in your own strength and efforts or willpower. It's about everything God will do in your life in response to faith. God says, just walk with me and believe, and you will see the power of the new covenant released in your life. You'll see spiritual freedom. You'll see transformation. You'll see a renewed mind. You'll see a living hope. All the blessings of the new covenant will be put to work in your life as you just walk with me in faith. Amen. I know when I got saved, I wanted to change. I clung to that scripture where it says, who God did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to his image. I could look at the things in my life that I were prisoner to. Things in my life my own strength could never overcome. And I held on to that hope with great promise. God, all you're looking for is just someone that believes you can do the impossible in their life and you will do it. To me, that is one of the priceless blessings of the new covenant. Amen. Well, I could go on, but I think I made my point. You can lose the glory of the new covenant. A church that has him on the inside can put him on the outside. When they begin to call the new covenant, the glory of the new covenant, something that it's not. When we begin to embrace this theology that it will cover me, but it won't change me. You can lose its power. You can lose its glory. Now here's how I want to end the message this morning. Here's how I felt the Lord would have me end this message this morning. You know, a message like this can sometimes bring fear where there doesn't need to be this fear. You know, again, this morning, I'm not talking about a people who love the Lord and desire freedom, but they just have areas where they're struggling with and can't seem to get the victory over. I'm not talking about that. Listen, if you're here this morning and you love the Lord and there's just something in your heart that desires to have everything that God has for your life, and if there's a desire in your heart just to move into deeper and deeper places of spiritual freedom, I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking is this mindset that says, it doesn't matter how I live, it doesn't matter what blatant disobedience I harbor in my life, God loves me, so his new covenant will excuse that. No, it will not excuse that. And when we walk with that kind of mindset as a people and a church, it will take the glory from the inside and put it on the outside. Amen. Beloved, if you love the Lord and you desire his freedom and you desire transformation, and you're just struggling with things in your life, but your heart truly does burn for freedom, God is working in your heart. And it is a glorious work. And I just want to show you, I want to end with a scripture. I want you to go right back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look with me at verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord working in our hearts. Now look at it again. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Okay, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, all right? Everybody say, glory to glory. Amen. Say, I am changing from glory to glory. Glory to glory. All right. In our walk with God, as we make Jesus the focus of our life, we are changing from glory to glory to glory to glory. Now, here's my point. It doesn't matter what level of sanctification you are in. It is glorious in the eyes of God. Amen. You may be only saved 20 minutes and had the Holy Spirit working in your heart 20 minutes. Or you may have been saved for 20 years and have had the Holy Spirit working in your heart for 20 years. But whatever level of sanctification you are in, God says it is glorious in my eyes. Amen. See, the problem is sometimes we want to be at someone else's level of glory. Right? You know, sometimes we see someone who has been saved longer than we have, and we see the wonderful work and fruit in their life, and we want to be like that, so we strive to be at their place of change. Right? I remember when I first got saved, I had the people I would try to imitate. I would look at their walk, and I would try to imitate their walk, and I would look at how they preach, and I would try to imitate how they preach, you know. But then God finally broke through my heart and said, I didn't call you to be an imitator, I called you to be the genuine. Just walk with me. Listen, they didn't get there overnight, and you're not going to get there overnight either. I'm not going to get there overnight either. And what I'm simply saying is this. We just need to understand that wherever we are at with the Lord, it's a glorious place. And be thankful for that place. And walk in the joy of that place. Just walk with God. Just walk with God. You know, when you strive to be at someone else's level of glory, it does two things. First of all, it puts you right back into striving in your own strength. That's what it does. And secondly, it just leads to places of very deep discouragement when you just see yourself fall so short. No. God says, whatever level you're at in your growing process, I see it as a glorious place. And if you'll just love me and walk with me, set your heart upon my will for your life, you'll see the glory of the new covenant in your life. You will see change and you will see transformation, and you may not always see it as fast as you'd like to see it, but nevertheless, when I do it, it's a sure work, it's a steadfast work, and it's a steady work. And you are being transformed. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Amen. You know, sometimes I think we underestimate the power of repentance. I just want to read you a verse, Proverbs 1:23. It's probably one of my very favorite verses on repentance. It says, "Turn you at my reproof." And that's simply it. That's simply repentance. When you feel the reproving of God on your heart and you respond to it, you turn to it. The Lord says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you." So the Lord says, when I find true repentance on the heart, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pour out my spirit unto you. In other words, you're going to know what it means to walk in a spirit-filled life. And he says, "And I will make known my words unto you." In other words, he's saying, you're going to see the power of my word at work in your life. You're going to see what it can do. You're going to see its transforming effect. In other words, we'll wrap it up with this. The Lord says, when you turn to me with a repentant heart, heaven will open again to you. You're going to know the power of a spirit-filled life, and you're going to know the power of a life that's being transformed by the word of God. Heaven will open to you again. Amen. And I believe that that's just the goodness of God. You know, the prodigal, he got his words of repentance out. But before he could start talking about how unworthy he was, the father cut him off and said, "Let's put a robe on his shoulders and a ring on his finger. I've heard your repentance, but I don't want to hear all this stuff about how unworthy you are. No, you're my son. You're my daughter. And I've made you worthy. You're worthy of that ring. You're worthy of that robe. You're worthy of those shoes. And you're worthy of that fatted calf, which represents all the covenant blessings of God, because the blood has made you worthy." Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we as a church body would know the glory of the new covenant. That God, we would just be a people that walk with you and desire you and walk in your leading for our life. And that in this house, Lord, the times that we have in these services, it would just be a part, a powerful part of the changing, transforming that you're doing in our life, God. Let us, Lord, walk in here with beholding hearts, hearts that have truly just made you its focus. God, when we walk out of here, we would walk out changed, Lord. Not by our own strength, but by the Holy Spirit moving in response to faith. God, you are the God of the impossible. And if you say I can change, I can change. Lord, I thank you, God. Father, we give you glory. We give you glory for what you're doing in our lives. And we give you glory for what you're doing in us as a body in your church. We give you glory for it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.